Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning and we are continuing our series on tithing, giving, and the scriptures. We want to do a quick review before we go into the real practical aspects. We've been kind of touching on a lot of them, but we really want to get into how we are to really deal with finances as a new spirit being. If we don't tithe, what do we do? And when we say we give, what does that look like? This is a reflection on not just how we handle money, but it's about our relationship, about how we see ourselves reacting with others, with this world, with others in ministry, and it is a reflection on how we take responsibility for our relationship with God. One of the reasons tithing is so strongly attached to by so many is that the option to it is kind of scary. When you start telling people that they can hear directly from God, very often that's a scary thing. There's a fear of being deceived. There's also a fear of God that we really don't want to hear from him because we're afraid of what he's going to say. We are living our lives to, as Christians, to get into heaven. And we've been told or we believe that one of the things to do is to tithe or handle our finances correctly. Or so many other things like be in a fulfill a certain role in our marriage, or as an employee, or as a one who reaches out to the poor in missions. A variety of different preconceptions we have that if we check off every item on our checklist, we'll get into heaven, or God is obligated to give us a passing grade or a gold star or more jewels in our crown. When instead we look at even the possibility sometimes can be scary, that instead of having a checklist, you have a relationship. That God is real, he speaks for himself, and he wants to speak to you and me. Now, moment by moment. And as we realize that, and we realize fully the implications of that, one of the things that happens is we begin to see where we have been even using the scriptures and what we believe to control God. That instead of allowing him to let us know how we're doing or what changes we need to make or allowing him to even make those changes, by having that checklist, not just regarding tithing, but any number of other areas, that we are really merely trying to maintain control. And when it gets right down to it, Control is simply another name for flesh. And we've gotten kind of mixed up in regards to the fruit of the spirit of self-control and are trying to control out of our self-life. And we'll go into that some other time, but really want to distinguish between the responsibility that we have in our natural being. Remember, we're spirit, soul, and body. Your body dwells in the natural realm. Your soul dwells in the supernatural realm. And your spirit dwells in the spiritual realm. And each one of those realms has a level of authority and laws. And laws are not restrictions, but they are realities. That if you do not abide by them, there will be consequences. In the natural law, if you jump off a building, you will fall. And the consequences will likely be that you'll hurt yourself. In the supernatural realm, if you don't take care of yourself emotionally, for instance, and you just let your emotions determine how you're doing, you'll likely be prone to cycles of depression or be very at the whim, live your life at the whim, make decisions based on how you're feeling. And you'll be that blown about by every wind according to the circumstances. That's a consequence of living out of your soul, your emotions. And that's true with whether you live out of your emotions or your mind or your will. And we've dealt with that in other teachings. We're not going to get too much into that. But then when we get to our spirit, the law or rule or reality that we live by as a spirit being is that you already have everything you need to live as a son of God now in your spirit. That all the information you need, all the strength, all the resources you need are already available and provided and accessible in the spirit realm. And that the reason we are not accessing them is not that there's a problem with us spiritually. You're not going to mature spiritually. Where you are right now, this is it. As far as maturity, you're not going to grow spiritually. When we talk about, and actually you're not going to grow supernaturally in your soul either, because the soul God gave you is your temperament, your mind, will, and emotions. What he gave you is perfect for you already. The problem with your soul is that it's learned to live out of its own strength. It's built up its own control mechanisms. And those control mechanisms, picture it like you have both a moat and a wall and a series of mountains and barriers all around your kingdom to protect you from and control who can come in and who can go out. And the problem with that is you also think and interfere with God coming in and going out. So he's not going to let you continue to live that way. If you are a spirit being, you have already within your kingdom, even though you still have those walls, your spirit being has already been renewed as much as it's ever going to be. So you have the fullness of the kingdom in you, inside that tower with you right now. But when we think that we can still maintain those barriers, those protections to keep things in and to keep things out. None of those will contain God. And those barriers have become his enemy. When we talk about God exposing and revealing to us what's really going on in our soul, that's what we're talking about. He's perfectly happy with the temperament, the soul he gave you. It's not broken, and he's not going to fix it. But it's not you. Part of your job here as a spirit being is to bring into submission your soul to your spirit. So though your soul is exactly what he gave you, it's a gift, it's what he gave you, he doesn't hold it against you. But it can't be running around doing its own thing and available to God to live, to pour out his spirit to and through. Now, because you are in him, you have already joined him in that process, and you've already agreed with him that your temperament, your soul, needs to be brought into subjection. So the process we're going through is to bring our mind, will, and emotions uniquely, your situation is going to be different than anybody else's, to free it from the beliefs, the wounds, the circumstances that it is in right now. Again, he doesn't hold it against you, but he's not going to let you continue to live believing a lie or to live with these wounds. He is after your complete healing, and he is pursuing those lies that you believe to expose them. And he does not want you to be vulnerable to the lies of the enemy or the world. So he's bringing those beliefs to the surface so you can see how they are keeping you from living the complete life that you have already received in your spirit. So this tithing issue, this financial issue, both reveals, is intended to reveal the resources that we already have available to us so we can, each one of us, learn how to live with those full resources already available to us in the spirit, as a spirit being, but also how to become free from the lies that we've been believing. So he uses every circumstance in our lives. Wherever you are right now, there's obviously a multitude of circumstances that you find yourself in. And when we're dealing with the crisis, it's something God wants to speak to us about. So there's the finances, there's health and relationships. And he talks to us about each one of those areas and anywhere in between to make the most out of every circumstance we find ourselves in. So that's why, because this whole tithing thing is a red flag regarding both our wounds, our beliefs, and our responsibilities regarding tithing. The bottom line is if you believe you are supposed to be tithing, you are keeping God from moving in that area of teaching you how to be a giver, which is your true nature. You can't do both. Now, many have never been challenged. And so very often, people who have never been challenged regarding the whole concept, when they see, oh, you know, this is very clear about who should be tithing and who should not be tithing, there, it's an easy thing to give up and move right into strictly being a giver. But for those that it's difficult, or it's like you're touching a button and they go off, and there's some kind of a reaction, that's often an indicator that there's a lot more tied up with them regarding this whole issue than just should we be tithing or not, or should they be tithing or not. So we're going to do a quick review, hopefully quick, as to what the scriptures say. And again, it's historically through the scriptures. If you're going to use the scriptures as the authority that's telling you that you should be tithing, then we've hopefully looked at the different periods of time, and even not just tithing, but the law itself, breaking the historical record of how the beliefs that we have today were formed. We're not going to go into a great deal of extra scriptural history, even though it is fascinating. And some, I always appreciate hearing from you as to, you know, some of the beliefs that we believe now, and looking at other influences on our Judeo-Christian tradition and how we do church and the books and the influences that have brought us to the place we're at now. Those are always interesting. But what we want to stay focused on right now is the one influence, the scriptures. So we started out with talking about the difference that the scriptures are used in referring to tithe to begin with. That tithe is both a noun and a verb. And that tithe as a noun is strictly just a number. It's a tenth. It's a tenth of anything. So a tithe of your 10 fingers is one finger. It's strictly a fraction. And that's how it came out to be, is because you got 10 fingers. And so it simply means, and that's how people count it, is by tens. So a portion of that, the smallest fraction of that, was a tenth. It's not that difficult. But throughout history, not just in the Judeo-Christian tradition, but throughout history, throughout civilizations, there were sacrifices to gods, to idols, to the god of nature, to luck, to anything, to their multiple gods. And that sacrifice was a tenth of their goods. This started way before the history in the scriptures is regarded. Throughout civilizations, there's a record of a tenth sacrifice to gods. So this is not in any way, shape, or form isolated or special to the Judeo-Christian history or tradition. But it's codified. It becomes a part of the qualifications to know God in the Judeo-Christian tradition, and because it does, we've looked at what it looked like and the changes it went through. So tithing is a verb. Going forward, when we are going to start using the term tithing is through this review, it's not as a noun, it's strictly as the verb, where we've already concluded that when we say tithe, or to tithe, it is to fulfill the law by paying a set amount in specific ways to specific people for specific uses at specific times in order to maintain a specific relationship with God. So we're looking at the whole notion that it's on our checklist. You have to tithe, and you have to do it in certain ways to certain people in order to maintain a certain aspect of your relationship with God. Now, the scriptures, the first part of it was before there was a codification of the law. In other words, before the law of Moses, before anything was written down. And here's the summary of the tithe before the law was written down. First, God never commanded anyone to tithe. There was no covenant before the law was written down. Later, God did indeed make a covenant with Abram. And God made many promises to Abram and his successive generations. But all Abram had to do was circumcise his sons. Tithing wasn't mentioned. The only thing he had to do was circumcise his sons. Second, the law had yet to be codified or written down at all. Now, this is significant because it means that neither Abram nor Jacob were following guidelines previously given by God. Their events that they experienced were outside or before the law was given. Now remember, again, I love the story of Jacob where God gives him all these promises that he's going to make a great nation out of him and return him as a very wealthy person to his homeland, to his family. And Jacob's response is that he would tithe, that he would give to God a tenth of all his goods. Now, it's significant that God never told him to do that. God never said, if you tithe, if you give me some of your goods, I will bring you into your great. I will reward you. I will bless you. No, God said, I'm going to bless you. And Jacob is the one who came up with the whole idea of responding by giving back to God. God never asked for that. And we also don't have any record that he ever did that. So that really revealed something in Jacob's heart and very often reveals us something in our heart that we want to keep things even. God's so generous to us, we have such a hard time just saying thank you. We feel there are strings attached, and that's something we have to get over because he's already, the strings have all been cut. He created you so he could give to you because that's his nature, and he can't not give. It's not that he's looking throughout the world for someone to live up to his expectations. He's looking throughout the world, if you will, for some place to pour out what he wants to give, that is able to receive it. He has wine, and he wants to pour it into your wineskin. And all you have to do is receive it. So our conclusion, so number three is neither Abram nor Jacob tithed. Abram gave freely, and Jacob promised to give if God did what he had already unconditionally promised to do. Finally, there were no consequences tied to either one of them not giving. So that was all before the law was even written down. Then when the law was written down, and basically a people group was defined by the laws that were written down, the tithe did become law as part of that law. So when we talk about the institution of tithing, this is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like strictly in the law of Moses. So as part of the commandment, as part of the commandment given by God through Moses to the Israelites, first, one-tenth or a tenth of the produce of the land, the fruit, the grain, and the livestock belonged to God and was to be given to and used by his priests, the Levites. This tithe, this tenth, was dedicated to the Lord. The Levites were in turn to give one-tenth, or a tithe, of the tithe they received to the high priest, Aaron, his descendants and their households. So one family within the priesthood received a tenth from the rest of what was given. Then in what was probably a second yearly tithe, a second tenth was to be taken up and used specifically for festivals and feasts. This was consumed by the tithers and the Levites before God. Again, this is all tithing. So we have two-tenths now. Then a triannual tithe, or a third-tenth of the produce only, was to be put into storage facilities to take care of the Levites and those in need in the local vicinity. So it was like a food bank. This was not dedicated to the Lord and was to be dispersed with generosity. So we're looking at 30% of your goods, 30% of the produce. So using the above summaries, it's 20% a year would be given off the top, with an additional 10% every third year to support the religious, governmental, and social structure of the day, the community. Now, some attribute the inconsistency in the accounts of these tithes to the two time periods in which they were written. In other words, it was written over time. When the tithes were to be given exclusively to the Levites, the Israelites were still wandering around in the desert. After they entered the Promised Land, they became much more homebodies. They multiplied, and they needed other ways to not only take care of the Levites, but ensure their religious and social cohesion for their community through festivals and social caretaking through legislated welfare programs. In other words, these tithes took care of Israel being Israel, the nation. So to pay for their government, to pay for their armies, to pay for the social structures, these additional tithes were altered through the process of the Law of Moses, through the five books. Now, there were no specific penalties or consequences for not tithing. The penalty of withdrawal of the Lord's blessing and his casting Israel away from being his people was if they did not keep the whole law. It was never, if you don't tithe, God won't provide. It wasn't tit for tat. It was the whole law. It wasn't, if you don't wash your food the way you were commanded, you'd get sick. The law is a package deal. It's all or nothing. If you don't do all of it, you've broken God's law. There was no single aspect singled out as more important to God than others. Now, the commandment of the tithe was in effect as long as the law was in effect, which is from the codification of the law, which is Moses, to the fulfillment of the law, which is Jesus' resurrection. This is really important because this goes to not only the whole tithing aspect, but so many other aspects of how we think God is relating to us. We are trying to apply rules and regulations and our perceptions of how God thinks of us falsely, based on our misunderstanding of when grace started and when the law ended and the purpose of the law. The law didn't change. The law is perfect. God didn't say, okay, you know, we don't need this anymore. It's still in effect, just not for you. We can conclude then that God, through Moses, did indeed command the Israelites to tithe. And he gave specific parameters as to who, where, when, how, and the consequences of both obedience and disobedience to this commandment. So to tithe is to fulfill the covenantal requirements as specified by God through the scriptures laid out specifically in the Mosaic Law, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday and finish our review of what the scriptures say and then move into the practical applications. But again, God is very specific in the scriptures as to who should tithe, and it's not you. As always, you can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back in touch with you. Be sure to visit our blog and sign up at wecanprepare.org so we can keep in touch with you about the changes we're gradually making as we learn some new technology and figure out the best way to be presenting some of our new material. So thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. Have a great day.